Sometimes life brings you a moment you always will remember. Some of nature's most beautiful creations framed by places we know and cherish. And aren't we in luck that some of life's most memorable scenes are right here at home, all together at Alabama the Beautiful, the group on Facebook where the eye captures the moment. And it really does last forever.
Be sure to check out AlabamaTheBeautifulMagazine.com.
With 6 convenient locations to serve you, Bankston Motorhomes is your local RV dealer. They have some of the top brand name RVs for sale at incredible prices. Whether you are looking for an awesome RV for a long-term road trip or a smaller or more lightweight RV for the occasional weekend getaway, Bankston Motorhomes is here to provide you with some outstanding options and deals that you just won't find anywhere else. For more information, go to BankstonMotorhomes.com or visit one of their 6 convenient locations in Huntsville, Florence, Warrior, Albertville, and Ardmore in Nashville, Tennessee. That's Bankston Motorhomes.
North Alabama is full of adventure. If you love food, we've got it. If you love festivals, we've got them. If you love the outdoors, we've got plenty of places to explore. Whatever you love, we're sure to have something for you. For all things North Alabama, check out northalabama.org.
Hello, this is Ethan Lybrand, and you're listening to The Mark White Show. I'm the NBA National Ambassador, and to show your support to kids like me, go to NBA.org.
Hey everybody, this is Daryl Worley, and you're listening to The Mark White Show. Hey, step up and make a difference like he does.
Hey y'all, this is Jeff Foxworthy, and you, yeah, you can make a huge difference in somebody's life. You just may not have figured out how yet, and that's why you're listening to The Mark White Show.
Hi, this is Maggie Peterson. I played Charlene Darling on The Andy Griffith Show, and you are listening to The Mark White Show.
Hi folks, this is Ricky Skaggs, and you're listening to The Mark White Show.
Hello, I'm Gene Stallings, and this is The Mark White Show. Get off the sideline and get involved and make a difference in your community.
You are listening to The Mark White Show. My daddy is your host, Mark White. Something
good today. Welcome to another edition of The Mark White Show. I am your host, Mark White. And I'm glad to be able to come to you from Huntsville, Alabama today as I talk to Ricardo Rincon, who is originally from Mexico City, Mexico. We're at the U.S. Paralympics paracycling time trials. Welcome to the Mark White Show, Ricardo.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I'm excited to be part of it. I got recruited by the University of Arizona to, University of Arizona has the largest adaptive sports program in the country. And they're actually the only university in the whole states that has a hand cycling program. So I got recruited by them 5 years ago to come do college with them and be a part of the team. So that was really, really a big jump in my, I guess, both professional career and my sports career. Because there's not a lot of support for adaptive sports back home, so it was great.
How did the University of Arizona find you in Mexico City?
Well, I looked for them more than anything because there's a foundation in San Diego called CAF, Challenge Athletes Foundation, and I applied for a grant. Well, I actually applied at the time. I was just getting involved in adaptive sports, and they have these paratriathlon clinics. And I applied to be part of one, and I got it because CAF, it's a international organization. So I was actually quite surprised that I was able to, you know, to get the opportunity to go to San Diego. And they pretty much cover everything. And I was able to go to San Diego and do the clinic. And there is where I met, his name is Carlos Molita. He's like, superhero in adaptive sports, and I was really interested in at the time I was actually 17 or 18 years old, and I was really interested in keep on doing adaptive sports while I was trying to look for going into college. So Carlos recommended me into the University of Arizona. He told me about their hand cycling program. He wrote me a really nice recommendation letter. And that's how I emailed the program, and then they were really interested in me, and they put the rest of the effort to get me there, which was, you know, like they kind of like funded me to go and check out the program. And once I was there, they offered me a scholarship.
I know here in the United States, as far as adaptive sports, you may be out of luck depending on where you live. When it comes to Mexico City in Mexico, as far as how young were you when you started in adaptive sports?
So I got injured when I was 14 years old. I used to race dirt bikes, and I got into an accident in a motocross track when I was, you know, I was pretty young, 14 years old, and then I've been always really active. I started riding dirt bikes since I was like 6 years old, so I couldn't stand still, so I was looking for adaptive sports right after, like maybe like 3 months after I broke my back. I was already looking for like something to get me out there and keep on doing sports. And I actually find off-road hand cycling first. So I actually got me a off-road bike first, and I loved it. I really liked it, but there was nobody to compete against. And that's when I had a friend in Mexico City that he was the only guy in the whole country doing para triathlons. And he was like, "Hey, why don't you try the road bike? Since there is much more like racing scene in the road bike." That's what I did. I got into and tried his road bike, and I really liked it because it was much more efficient than the off-road bike. The off-road bikes are a little heavier, and it's a little harder for us to go up the mountains, and then it would just, you know, take forever to go up the mountain, and it would be really fast to go scream down the backside, but it was hard to make it a really efficient sport, because it's not as the road bike, you jump in it and you can ride, I don't know, 40, 50 miles, you know, and it's a really efficient bike, light bikes, they're make out of carbon fiber. So you're able to move much quicker than you would in the off-road bike. So I liked it immediately, and I was able to get, like you said, it's a little harder to get support back home. But I was lucky that the government helped me to get my first road bike. And that's how, we're talking about 2016. So 7 years from now, or what is it, 6 years from now? And that's where I, you know, once I got my road cycle, I started getting more serious and started slowly getting coached and all that. And then not so long after was when I got recruited by the U of A, and then I started racing, you could say. I mean, I'm not full-time because I was a full-time student, but like full-time student athlete, you know. Yeah.
It's really intriguing to me, Ricardo, at 14 years old, and I've spoken to a lot of people who are in adaptive sports thanks to Challenged Athletes Foundation.
Oh, cool.
Nico Marcolongo is a friend of mine.
I know Nico.
And I was a police officer for a long time, and I connected with Operation Rebound.
All right, okay.
And so through those conversations, of course, everybody's situation is different.
Right.
But to think about being 14 years old and then 3 months later having the mentality, even though you loved outdoor sports and you loved those activities, to have the mentality to start looking and searching, because it takes people longer sometimes to be able to get out of "woe is me" or "this has happened to me and I don't know where my life is going to go." There had to be something. Was there somebody you grew up with that was a really inspiration to you, or somebody encouraged you?
I think the fact that I was 14 years old helped me adapt quicker than a lot of people, because like you said, I you know, like now I know a lot of spinal cord injury individuals, and like you said, there's a lot of people that went through, I don't know, a rough patch, or like they took like years to get on the group to get back into adaptive sports. But I was so young and full of energy that I needed something. You know, I was looking for, actually at the beginning, when I got injured, I had no idea what a spinal cord injury meant, right? Like I didn't know what was to be paralyzed or anything. So in my mind, I was only thinking about, well, what do I have to do to get back on my dirt bike? You know, I was like really focused on doing physical therapy, because I thought, you know, like eventually, you know, I'll get my strength back and I'll jump back in my bike, just as any other youngster. Like, you know, you're young, you don't really think about, I didn't know anything about spinal cord injuries. So by the time, you know, it hit me. By the time I knew, like, well, I'm not going to be able to walk again, I was already fully adapted, because I see it, you know, I approached it with, like, a really good attitude, to where, like, I was doing all my physical therapy right away. I gained strength in my, you know, in my arms and in my upper body. And then I started doing a lot of stuff by myself. You know, I would jump in my chair and go to the gym and exercise by myself. And, you know, sooner than later, I started driving. And then when I realized, okay, well, this is to stay, this is for good, I had already seen that, you know, we're able to adapt, you know, like I adapted, and then I realized that I, my life was going to be on wheels from now on. Right. But I think being young definitely helped me with that process, because then I was like, okay, well, it's, you know, it's buckle up, and, you know, like there's no time to, like, worry about the things I can't do now. You know, I gotta worry about, like, the stuff I can do, which seems to be a lot, because, like, I was, you know, I was lucky, of course, my family, you know, having my family so close to me, like, we were really tight. You know, in Mexico, we're, like, there's really a big culture around family. So, like, I always felt like they had my back, my brother, my older brother, my mom, my dad. Everybody was really supportive. They helped me get my off-road bike, because, you know, equipment, it's really expensive, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, adaptive equipment especially. So I always felt like I had, you know, support with me, which encouraged me to keep going. I always felt like my parents were struggling more with the whole incident rather than myself, because, like, I was on a really good attitude, but they would struggle to see me, you know, being in the chair and being starting to adapt and stuff. So I would always say myself, well, I'm gonna, you know, try to be on my best attitude and everything, so I can don't have to see my parents, like, struggle so much, you know. And eventually it just became my life, you know, just like doing stuff, accomplishing stuff. I mean, I rode my bike across the country. You know, it was one of the big achievements I've done. I rode from Bar Harbor, from Anacortes, Washington, to Bar Harbor, Maine. So I don't know. It's been full. It's been a crazy ride since, you know, 11 years now that I broke my back. But it's been different. I think it has brought opportunities that maybe, if I wouldn't have gotten into the accident, maybe I wouldn't be here racing at the level I am, like at an elite level, representing my hometown, well, my home country. I guess there's rough times in life that bring opportunity. Like, you just have to be able to accept what happens and make your best, you know, the best outcome out of the situation. And that's what I've been trying to do ever since. So.
So your parents and your brother, are they still in Mexico City?
Yeah. Everybody's still in Mexico City.
So shout out to all of them today.
Yeah. Oh, right? Absolutely. Yeah. Shout out to all of them. I'll be able to, you know, let them know, you know, so they can hear this. I'm really appreciative of, you know, the University of Arizona, of, you know, really the country, you know, the United States, like, opened the doors for me, got me as an international student. I've been getting support for, you know, for races, for school, for a lot of stuff that it's made things easier, because, you know, the situation in Mexico is not the best right now. So I consider myself lucky for being a part of the hand cycling program. And, you know, Top End has also done great stuff for me. When I rode across the country, they supplied us with all the equipment that we needed, tires, and because, like, I mean, it was over 3 months of constant riding, you know, so, like, tires get worn out and spokes pop and, you know, like, footrests get bent. So, like, Top End really also supported us. We were a crew of three guys. It's been a wild ride.
Right now we're talking to Ricardo Rincon. I hope you'll stick with us as we continue this conversation with Ricardo Rincon. This is the Mark White Show, and I'm your host, Mark White.
A little wink, a pat on the back, a big old hug, a little laugh, we can make.
make a difference. All we have to do is try. Every day's a chance to change somebody else's life. Let's all do something good today.
North Alabama is full of adventure. If you love food, we've got it. If you love festivals, we've got them. If you love the outdoors, we've got plenty of places to explore. Whatever you love, we're sure to have something for you. For all things North Alabama, check out northalabama.org.
Experience the difference at Athens Bible School. The vision and purpose is to provide each student a quality education in a Christ-centered environment to develop the whole person spiritually, mentally, physically, and socially in safe and supportive surroundings. The solid biblical foundation permeates learning and culture in the classrooms and every extracurricular activity.
With six convenient locations to serve you, Bankston Motorhomes is your local RV dealer. They have some of the top brand name RVs for sale at incredible prices. Whether you are looking for an awesome RV for a long-term road trip or a smaller or more lightweight RV for the occasional weekend getaway, Bankston Motorhomes is here to provide you with some outstanding options and deals that you just won't find anywhere else. For more information, go to BankstonMotorhomes.com or visit one of their six convenient locations in Huntsville, Florence, Warrior, Albertville, and Ardmore in Nashville, Tennessee. That's Bankston Motorhomes.
This is Cora White inviting you to tune in every Saturday to Cora's Corner on the Mark White Show.
A little white house in the heart of town.
Hi, everybody. This is Doug Stone. And let me tell you something. Love grows best in little houses, especially when you got the Mark White Show on.
Love grows best in houses just like.
Had a six transistor when I was a kid. Under my pillow, I kept it hid. When the lights went out and no one could see, over the airwaves the world came to me. I'd go through the stations till I found a game. I knew how they played by the sounds of their names. The sluggers hit homers, those pitchers threw smoke, and I watched it all on my radio.
Welcome back to the Mark White Show. We're coming to you from Huntsville, Alabama, with Ricardo Rincon, and he has been part of the U.S. Paralympics paracycling today, and I wanted him to be able to share about this event and then also share about other things that he's been involved in when it comes to U.S. Paralympics. We talked about from a 14-year-old boy in Mexico City connecting with the University of Arizona and the great benefit that they were to him, the resource, along with challenged athletes, been a great resource as well. Welcome back to the Mark White Show, Ricardo.
Thank you, Mark. The race today was a great event. I think actually Huntsville did a great job. Well, I mean, not only Huntsville, U.S. Paracycling put this event, and I think it's one of the events that I've done here in the States that is, I would say the course was really nice. The organization was really nice. Yesterday they put up for us a viewing party for the relay, hand cycle relay. So I actually enjoyed a lot this event today. I did the time trial, the 9.8 mile time trial, and I'm always hard on myself, so I feel like I could have done a little better, but it was still good, and there were rough conditions. We had a strong wind coming from the west.
I heard about that.
Yes, so that actually made the times a little bit slower, but I still went out there and gave it my all, and I had fun. So that's for sure.
I think in the last segment you used the word elite, right?
Yes.
Did you say that, or did I say that?
No, I did.
You're always competing with yourself,
right?
I mean, there's
right.
always going to be those things that are challenges, so to speak, that you're going to look at and say, I wish that I had been able to do better, because
right.
you're a competitor. I mean,
yeah,
that's the
exactly,
attitude of
exactly.
of an elite competitor, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, like right now, the level of competition here in the U.S., especially for my category, MH3, it's really hard. Like my category is the one that has the most people on it. And we did not clock the fastest time, but we just shy of the fastest time. So like the fastest guy in our category was almost the fastest overall. So yeah, I mean, I do train hard, and I always wanna you know, ask a lot of myself, especially because you show up and you see, you know, where the level of competition is at, and you know, I always want more. You know, I always wanna perform better and go faster. And but you know, the truth about cycling, it's only you can do, you know, what you're. Like it's a slow progression, so like you can't like suddenly all of a sudden ask like, you know, for you to be number one when like there's guys that been doing this, you know, for 6-7 years consistently, and you know it takes time to get to that point. So I think I've been doing well throughout the last years, and I of course, like I said, I ask more for myself, but yeah, I think it was overall a great experience and a great race for me.
Ricardo, I think this is a good time maybe to have a message for people who are not yet in adaptive sports, but may be potentially a candidate for adaptive sports, as well as those who, as you think about being an elite athlete, many of us are not going to be at that level.
Right.
But to reach even an average level or above average to be good, a motivating statement or message for people to get up and try to make an effort to be more active?
Well, yeah, definitely. I would say I would recommend anybody that, you know, has experienced a injury or for some reason, you know, has to use any sort of adaptive equipment, or even if you don't, right? Either if you're just competing or everything, to always, you know, trust in yourselves and know that everything comes with time, and just to put in the work. Because like nobody gets there from, you know, Rome wasn't built in one day, right? So it takes a lot of work. But if you trust in yourself and your patience and you're, you know, perseverant, you're able to reach your goals, which it's what I've seen and you know, in my situation. But I also seen guys come up from nothing to, you know, zero to hero. So so yeah, I would recommend everybody to stay on track and just approach sport with a good attitude, and know that if you put in the work, it's going to be reflected in your races.
Ciudad de México wasn't built in a day either.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
So anything you think about, it takes steps. It takes a starting point, and to take that first step. And I just want to, as I'm sitting across from you, Ricardo, and I think about you as a young man taking that step to go ahead and find a place for yourself to say, you know, I've got this in me to keep moving.
Yeah.
I think it's a great message and inspirational message to people listening right now. And there are some young people right now that I've had on my show, through my show, who are going through some major challenges right now. And maybe they were great athletes. Maybe they were on the field or on the court. And right now they can't be. But I want to encourage them as they listen to you to think about when that time comes, when they're able to be back out there, to get their mind back on what they're capable of doing and challenge themselves. That's what challenged athletes is all about.
Yep.
The foundation is all about. And I'll tell you, while we're sitting here, the reason that I made a connection with Challenged Athletes Foundation was the day after Kobe Bryant passed away.
Oh, wow.
It was one of the things that he supported. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about, okay, this was an organization that Kobe supported. And so I reached out. And from that point forward, I started talking to all of these athletes, and it's led me to here today talking to you. And so one step after the other, and more encouraging messages and more inspiration for people. And I hope that people will listen to your message and they'll share it with others and inspire other people to go out there and do what they can, whether they're in adaptive sports or they're in other sports, other activities that don't require the adaptive equipment.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, just something to add also, don't ever feel like you're alone in this, because like, for example, in my case, I came from another country, and I was able to get support through different organizations. Like, as you mentioned, like Challenge Athletes Foundation does great for challenge athletes. And then organizations like the University of Arizona, like thanks to them, you know, I've been able to come to where I am right now. So just stating out there, like, you're not alone. There's people able, you know, willing to support you if you just gotta, like you said, get your mind in the right mindset and push on, right? Because you never know, like, if you doubt yourself and you think you can't do it, you'll never reach that full potential. Like, you have to focus yourself and be like, okay, this is what I want to do and this is where I'm going, and just keep pushing. Yeah.
And also a shout out to the University of Arizona.
Absolutely.
Because you stated that their adaptive sports program is what?
It's the largest adaptive sports program in the country. It is. We have anywhere from wheelchair tennis, wheelchair rugby, para swimming, track, hand cycling, and I'm pretty sure I'm missing some others, because like we have pretty much. Oh, we have adaptive golf as well. So we have a lot. We offer a lot of programs, and I don't think there's any university that can rival us.
And I would tell people to go check out the University of Arizona. And even if you don't go out there to the University of Arizona, it can at least give you an idea of the sports that are available if you are an adaptive sports individual. So you can look at the list and say, you know what? If that guy can play golf, I can do it. If that young lady can play basketball, I can do it. So use that maybe as a catalyst for motivating others to look at those sports and say, this is where I think I might fit in. Archery. I mean, there's all right. sorts of sports out there, and you can go and look at the University of Arizona and see what they're involved in. But Ricardo, thanks again for joining me here on the Mark White Show to share your story, to share your message. It's an encouraging one, and I appreciate you being here today.
Oh, thank you, Mark. I was blessed to be here.
Ricardo Rincon, we're glad to have him here on the Mark White Show today from Huntsville, Alabama, as we have enjoyed the U.S. Paralympics paracycling time trials today.
There are moments in life you wish you could capture forever. Alabama the Beautiful is a new online magazine that preserves images from sweet home Alabama. Yours anytime, online, every month, where the eye captures the moment, and it really does last forever.
Be sure to check out AlabamaTheBeautifulMagazine.com.
Hi, I'm Elena Burt.
I'm Chandler Mordecai.
I'm Harper Howard.
And you're listening to The Mark White Show. Let's find a way to make a difference today.
Is it time for a haircut? Give my friend Philip Butler at Southwind Barbershop a call, located in Rogersville, Alabama. You can call him at 256-247-5658. Make an appointment or just walk in. That's Southwind Barbershop in Rogersville, Alabama.
Thompson Roofing and Construction is a locally owned family business serving the North Alabama and Southern Tennessee area. They are a Better Business Bureau A-plus member since 2011 and a GAF Master Elite Contractor. Give them a call at 256-952-3309 or check them out on the web at 256roofing.com. They offer free inspections.
Thompson Roofing and Construction.
Mr. Cecil Batchelor is the one that started this business as Dependable Service Center. And even though now it's Green's Dependable Hardware and we're a True Value store, our tagline is still Your Dependable Service Center. We've tried to keep that alive for all these years. Mr. Batchelor really started a good business. We're really excited to be carrying on a long-standing tradition. It's the oldest retail store in the city of Russellville. We're Green's Dependable Hardware, 15220A Highway 43 in Russellville, Alabama. We're right behind McDonald's or right across the street from the hospital. Number is 256-331-0123.
The Dependable Service Center.
You're listening to The Mark White Show.
That's a good how do you do.
Here on The Mark White Show, we're encouraging you to make a difference where you can. And if you're encouraged and inspired by The Mark White Show, I want you to share the show with your family, your friends, your neighbors. Let them know about The Mark White Show and what we're doing to make a difference in our communities around the country and the world. I want you to follow The Mark White Show on Facebook and Instagram. And I want you to subscribe to The Mark White Show podcast wherever you get your podcasts. You have been listening to another edition of The Mark White Show. And this is Mark White, encouraging you to find your purpose by making a difference in someone's life today.
To live and love in my hometown. Ah, these are